This is Paul's letter to Philemon, and it's on page 1200. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. To Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. To Apphia, our sister. To Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that I could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favour you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good. No longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother, he is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Our second reading, which is Psalm 32, can be found on page 560. Psalm 32, page 560, and it's verses 1 to 5. Of David, a Maskil. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped, as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Andy. You might find it helpful to have that first reading open, the letter to Philemon. And good morning. If you don't know me, my name is Craig. I'm one of the ministers here. And well, let me pray for us now as we look at God's word together. Lord God, we thank you for the gift of your word, and that through it and by your Spirit, you want us to know you, and you shape us and change us by it. And so please let that happen this morning. In Jesus' name and by the power of the Spirit, we pray. Amen. I could never forgive them. I wonder if you have ever thought that, or maybe even said that to a friend when talking about something that's happened. Now, have you ever fallen out with someone and felt that you could just never, whatever happens, you could never forgive them? Maybe it's because they have made no sign that they are sorry. Or maybe what they did was so bad that even if they said sorry, you still feel you wouldn't be able to forgive them. And I'm sure often these relationship breakdowns, they happen in families. Maybe you've been hurt by a brother or a sister, or have a long-standing kind of disagreement with your father or mother, or maybe your children. And that can just wear us down over time, can't it? And if you have been to a church for even a short amount of time, well, you know that God has been hurt and offended by our sin more than any offense or hurt that any of us could ever feel in our lifetimes. And yet, he does offer forgiveness at great cost to himself through Christ on the cross. And so he does call his family, the church family, to forgive like he does. And so Paul, in this letter to Philemon, well, he's calling Philemon to forgive like Philemon has been forgiven by God, to mend this relationship with Onesimus because they are brothers in Christ. You see, Philemon was a wealthy Roman citizen from the city of Colossae, and he became a Christian when he met Paul. And so when Paul's co-worker Epaphras, he left Paul and came to Colossae and started the Colossian church, well, Philemon ended up becoming one of the leaders in that church. He was a respected man, and he was faithful in following Jesus. Well, Philemon was successful in work, in business, and like many Romans, he owned household slaves, one of whom was named Onesimus. You could imagine Philemon being someone that maybe living in Doncaster and using the kind of high-speed rail, the 90-minute journey to London, which I'm always amazed by, to commute to London where he works in finance. And maybe Onesimus is his personal assistant. Well, at some point, these two had a serious conflict. Onesimus possibly cheated or stole from Philemon. And whatever exactly happened, well, it was made worse when Onesimus ran away. And eventually, Onesimus kind of finds himself in meeting Paul. And Paul, who at the time, and we read here he's in chains, he was kind of in a low security prison. I guess almost something between house arrest and being in like a proper prison. And there he became a follower of Jesus. And he kind of became an assistant to Paul, an assistant that Paul loved very much. And Paul now writes to Philemon, wanting forgiveness and a mended relationship between Philemon and Onesimus. He wants the church in Colossae to be a place of forgiveness and peace. And so as we read about that, we read about Paul's desire and what he's calling Philemon to do, well, we can be thinking, how can we at St. Mary's be like that? And so firstly, in verses 1 to 9, Paul gives us the fuel for forgiveness. He says in starting in verse 4, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Paul shares all the good things about Philemon, that he has faith in Jesus and he loves God's people. And Philemon's love, well, it brings great joy to Paul, and it's this love that Paul calls on now. He says, therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. Paul could order Philemon to do it because of his authority. Paul is an apostle. He's someone who has started many, many of the first churches. Paul could call in a debt, because as you read later, he had led Philemon to the Lord. He was the one that brought Philemon to the faith. Paul could guilt him to do it out of obligation, but Paul says he doesn't want to do it for any of these reasons. He wants him to do it on the basis of God's love being worked out in his life. And you read in these verses I just read, we can see that God's love is already being worked out in his life. In verse 4, Philemon has this love and care for God's people. In verse 7, this love refreshes and encourages God's people. Well, this same love should motivate Philemon to forgive Onesimus. And that love is the same as the compassion that moved Jesus when he saw his people like sheep without a shepherd, or when he saw someone who was ill, or someone who was mourning, or even those who mocked him. Jesus had love and compassion on them. And it's the same love that led him to the cross for you and for me. Paul wanted Philemon to listen to his appeal, not out of kind of a grudging obedience, but out of love, reflecting and responding to God's love. And if you want to see what that looks like in practice and not just in theory, well, we look at the cross where Jesus gave his life to bring forgiveness and mended relationship with God. And this is Mandisa Hunley, a gospel singer who was one of the 12 finalists on American Idol. She got to the point where she met the judges, Simon Cowell, Paula Abdul, and Randy Jackson. And at this point, she was in the room as they were giving feedback. And she got this stinging comment from Simon, eyeing Mandisa, who was heavy set. Simon asked, "Do we have a bigger stage this year?" I'm sure hearing that, you're as shocked as I am that he would say that on TV. Well, on a later date, she's again coming before the judges, and they're deciding who the final 12 are going to be on the elimination shows on Saturday nights. And well, Mandisa, she entered the room to learn their verdict. And she looked right at Simon and said this, "Simon, a lot of people want me to say a lot of things to you, but this is what I want to say. Yes, you hurt me, and I cried, and it was painful. But I want you to know that I've forgiven you, and that you don't need someone to apologize to forgive somebody. And I figure that if Jesus could die so that all of my wrongs could be forgiven, I can certainly extend that same grace to you. I wanted you to know that." Mandisa knew that God loved her. She knew the cost of God's forgiveness for all that she had done wrong. And so she reflected and responded to that love by showing love to Simon Cowell and forgiving him, not lashing out, not writing scathing comments in interviews or on Twitter, not insulting him in return. No, rather than kind of pushing back, she steps closer, wanting a mended relationship. And Paul is challenging Philemon to be reconciled to Onesimus. Not out of being noble or just out of kind of moral courage, but by kind of digging into the depths of knowing Christ's love for him. So the question for us is, well, do you kind of push back in anger rather than forgive? Or does God's love to you motivate you to kind of step towards that person, to forgive them and to mend the relationship? And so carrying on, what does forgiveness look like then? And in verses 9 to 16, I think we see that forgiveness, one of the things that forgiveness means is equality. That forgiveness means equality. And so picking up in the second half of verse 9, it is as none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. Let me just pause there for a moment, because I imagine that as many of us read this, and inside we cry, why? Because the 18th century movement to end slavery is one of the brightest moments in human history. And so verse 12 comes as such a shock to us. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. How could Paul do this? Especially now that Onesimus has become a Christian, how could that possibly make sense to send this slave back to his master? Well, let me promise you that we will see why and how that works out as we carry on through the letter. And so, verse 13, I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel, but I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. Now that was a really big ask. Now, we're not sure if Onesimus stole from Philemon, but even if he didn't, running away from your master in the Roman Empire, well, that could be punishable by death. A master could decide to kill their slave if they ran away, and that was perfectly fine. And then if Philemon doesn't punish Onesimus, well, he might be wondering, well, if he's going to become the laughing stock to those around him, you know, would other slaves run away because they see that he won't punish them? It could be an incredible sign of weakness, or becoming a pushover, to take him back. Well, Paul, in a way, is saying, I want you to take Onesimus back. And I know that that requires putting aside punishment, putting aside potential humiliation, putting aside any previous cost he wants to you, putting aside how helpful he may or may not be. And if that wasn't enough, if that wasn't a big enough ask, I want you to not only take him back as a slave, but as a brother. Take him back not just as a slave, but as a brother. Just think for a moment what that really means. This doesn't just mean say, welcome to the club. Welcome to being a Christian and coming to church on Sundays. But in everyday life, Philemon still treats Onesimus as property, as someone less than him. Now, this means recognizing that Onesimus is equal. Equal in also being made in the image of God, the same as every human being. Equal in being a sinner, kneeling at the foot of the cross, depending on Jesus alone, like all Christians, like Onesimus and like Philemon. But as a brother. In fact, you wonder, we don't know, but Paul might be hoping that Philemon might even release Onesimus. But we don't know. But you can imagine Onesimus returning to Philemon. And maybe, you know, thinking of my of the or if the Philemon in finance and Onesimus his personal assistant, you can imagine that maybe then Philemon's getting on the tube in London to make his way to Philemon's office. And you can imagine the anxiety on his face as he stands in the lift going up to the right floor. Maybe wondering, how is Philemon going to react when he sees me? You're thinking, yes, we are both Christians, but I wronged him. I did something really wrong to him. What's he going to do? And so you can imagine him tentatively knocking on the glass door to Philemon's office, and the letter from Paul in hand, and he's let in. And Philemon gets his new assistant to read the letter out loud. And then at the end, there is a pause, a silence that probably feels like forever for Onesimus. Well, and then Philemon, in his suit and his tie, he looks up and he smiles, and then surprises Onesimus by hugging him. And over the next few weeks, Onesimus gets a job working for Philemon again. But he's not just an employee. He then gets invited to a barbecue at Philemon's house, alongside friends, family, church family. And this isn't a work do. No, this is a gathering of people that Philemon loves. And Philemon and Onesimus become fast friends in the years to come. This is what Paul wants. We don't know what actually happened, but this is what Paul is longing for here. This radical mending of a broken relationship that can only come about by radical forgiveness. So the relationship isn't just brought back together, but it's completely transformed. I mean, what else could you call that? Someone who is a slave now being considered an equal by his former master and being a dear friend. Now, we have no way of checking this, but in reading about this letter, found out that the second bishop of Ephesus in the first century was called Onesimus. It was not a rare name, but it's not impossible that he was one and the same as Philemon's slave. Now, even if it wasn't him, it's a nice idea, but even if it wasn't him, well, it's entirely in keeping with what the gospel is about, that a slave could become a bishop. And I wonder if you've got a relationship in which you would love to see that type of mended relationship. And so as we come to the final verses, I want us to see that this kind of forgiveness, well, it is the mark of a Christian. That gracious forgiveness is the mark of a Christian. So he continues in verse 17. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. And so if there's any doubt about what Paul meant by as a brother and not a slave, well, it's clear here that Philemon would certainly treat Paul as an equal. In verse 18, if he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand, and I will pay it back. Not to mention that you owe me your very self. I mean, this is basically an IOU in the middle of this letter, saying there's any cost, Paul will sort it out. But then there's that kind of little cheeky reminder that Onesimus owes his conversion, his coming to Jesus, to Paul. And so does Philemon. And verse 20 continues, I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And so we're left here, the question left hanging in the air, as this is read aloud to Philemon and the Colossians. But it's what will happen now. The ball is in Philemon's court. I mean, the logic is obvious. Paul is Onesimus' father and brother in the Lord, and Paul is Philemon's dear brother in the Lord. Will Philemon draw the obvious conclusion? Will he mend the relationship with Onesimus as his dear brother in Christ? Well, we don't know. But the fact that this is included in the New Testament, you would hope that Philemon did respond as Paul hopes and expected and said he was confident he would do. And throughout this letter, behind all that Paul has written is the idea of grace, which just crops up in verse 25 in his final greeting, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Onesimus did not deserve a mended relationship. Philemon did not deserve Paul's paying off of Onesimus' debt. But this is what grace does, and some. It says, I will give you what you don't deserve. From my finances, from my time and energy, from my relationship with you. Because I know that I don't deserve anything I have. It is all a gift from God. And so grace demands us at St. Mary's to look at ourselves, to look at the St. Mary's family, and maybe look for signs where there might be a lack of grace. Are there fellow believers who we refuse to kind of be in relationship with, or to be associated with, or maybe to share our lives with? You might even have every justification in avoiding them. You might have been grossly wronged. And of course it can be difficult if they don't acknowledge that there's something wrong. But receiving incredible grace from God means we must be willing to offer it to others. And if we're not, well, then we have to ask, what actual difference does Christ's gospel make for us? No one said this was easy, but it is in the hardest of circumstances that our faith is proved to be genuine gold. You know, it goes against every kind of grain and fiber of who we are, but it is the change that God is working in all who trust and follow Jesus. From the moment we accept Jesus' offer of forgiveness, will it be costly? Absolutely. It might mean putting aside your fears about justice, or looking bad, or writing off a past cost. Will that feel hard and messy? Of course. But when we reflect and respond to God's love for us, well, we will offer radical forgiveness to others and see radical transformation in the relationships we have. And if you're here today and would not call yourself a Christian, well, this is what Jesus offers: radical forgiveness and radical transformation. That whatever we have done, whatever walk of life we come from, and whatever stage of life we are at, this is the offer, and it is freely available. And so don't go home without asking yourself, is this something that you want? Radical forgiveness and radical transformation. Well, let me pray as we close. Lord God, we thank you and praise you for your Son Jesus, who through the cost of his death purchased forgiveness for all who would trust in him. We thank you that we can enjoy a mended relationship with you. And please help that to shape how we love and care and forgive others in our lives. And we ask this in his name. Amen.